as we go back over the same scripture that we read 2 weeks ago, and you're saying, what on earth more can Don get out of that passage? I just want to share a bit of my heart. I was actually looking for another scripture, but what Paul says here in Colossians chapter 1, and it's not on the slides, so Jared, don't. I'm not tripping you up, okay? Well, maybe I am. But Paul's talking to the group at Colossae, and I'd like for you to receive these words as well. So then, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given the fullness of Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. So this morning, as we go through this passage, you might think, well, Don, you know, I've heard that since I was a kid. I've heard talk about the Holy Spirit since I was a child. And so it may seem very remedial to you. But we live in a time when these teachings that come from Scripture often are getting distorted and disrupted by the world around us. So we'll go over it again. One more time. Let us join our hearts together as we come before the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your holy word. We thank you that we are given the privilege of having a copy of it right in front of us. And sure, it's on paper and ink or iPad and light. But we pray that your Holy Spirit's presence in this room would speak to us through your word. And Lord, you can use these lips if you'd like to, if you choose to. And all the study that I've put into this, if you've got another word for us this morning, Lord, I give you privilege and opportunity to use these lips to say what you want said. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, that in this time of worship, our ears would be attentive to you, Lord. May we hear you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So last time we were talking about the fact that, wow, it's sort of a downer that Jesus had to leave. And Jesus then in this passage sort of flips it over on us, because he says it's to our advantage that he leaves, because when he leaves, then the Holy Spirit can come. And it allows Jesus the privilege through his Holy Spirit to be everywhere at one time. This Sunday we're going to be looking specifically at what seems to be in this passage the threefold tasks given the Holy Spirit to exercise among us. And in John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, to convict the world of guilt in regards to sin, that's pretty basic stuff. In other words, Jesus Christ coming as Lord and Savior makes no sense unless there was a reason for a Savior to come to save us from something. And that something that Christ came to save us from is our sin. And the most basic thing that the Holy Spirit is going to do is to convict us of that sin. In verse 9 then, it gives the reason. In regard to sin, because men do not believe. I don't think that's exclusively male, in case your Bible doesn't have that inclusive language. This would be a spot for inclusive language. Ladies, you're on the hook too. It's not just men that don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord. The primary sin that we must deal with individually is sin. Do we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord? Bottom line, nothing else in our Christian life can happen until we've made that decision that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Our basic, most primary sin is our unbelief. How much do you believe that Jesus is Lord? I mean, we can talk proportionally here, if you'd like. How much do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Just enough to get you in church on Sunday? Is it enough that you spend 2.5 hours in Jesus' name? Is it enough that maybe you're going to take that hour every day this week and pray for God's leading, that He would speak to you in that silence? How much do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And that's the task of the Holy Spirit. What I find in my life is God is continuing to peel away my unbelief as I give Him the space to do so. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in the New Testament past the cross that says that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you do not believe in Jesus, that you will go to heaven. There's nothing in the New Testament that says nice people make it to heaven. Okay? And that's why the Holy Spirit's primary task is to convict the world of guilt in regards to sin. And that sin being their unbelief. Now we in North America somehow have this weird little thought that, well, everybody's heard the gospel. You know, everybody's heard the gospel. I don't need to share the gospel with my friends and neighbors because they've already heard the gospel. They've been given a chance to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Folks, if you've ever been nudged to share the gospel with somebody and haven't done it, you may miss them in heaven. Because there's nothing that says that nice people go to heaven. Did I say that strong enough? If the Holy Spirit nudged you, that's something you better be doing. Because this is serious stuff. The first primary task of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of guilt in regards to sin. And that sin is believing or not believing. Notice that it also goes on and says concerning righteousness in verse 10. It uses the same words. It doesn't show up in our translations. But it uses the same words and carries over that concern in regards to righteousness. I don't know why it doesn't show up in our English translations. Regard to righteousness, not concern in regards to righteousness. That isn't in there, but it's in the Greek translation. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Now, folks, the reason the Holy Spirit is taking care of this task is because if Jesus were in the room with us, likely we would act differently. Think about it a moment. If all of a sudden Jesus Christ walked down in all His royal raiment from the realms of glory and sets up here by Jeremy, maybe between you guys, I don't know, would it shake you up at all, have Jesus sitting with you? I mean, think about it a little bit. Give you a little bit of a thought. So if I sat here, would you act differently on Sunday morning? You think? You think you would? Probably. I noticed the iPads aren't out. But think about it. The Holy Spirit is to be working with us concerning our righteousness. And the reason Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came is He couldn't be present in the pew beside you.
or beside you, or beside you.
But the Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ is present with us each and every day. So what would you do if Jesus were sitting beside you when you're on your computer? Or driving your car?
And you sort of hope Jesus is beside you when you're driving your car.
At work. Would you do things differently if you knew Jesus was right there? Well, you know He is. And I didn't have this on a slide, sorry. But in Hebrews chapter 4, it says it this way, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Wow. The attitudes of your heart. Nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Wow! And that's one of the reasons that Jesus had to go. Because in bodily form, He was restricted to a certain extent, as much as you can restrict God in physical presence. But going to the Father and allowing the Holy Spirit to come to us, Jesus is sitting in the pew with you this morning. How's that feel? Everybody's cell phone went off. And I want you to know that shouldn't be depressing for us. In other words, this self-righteousness that we're often having to deal with, you know, oh, I got that one covered. Boy, I'm sure glad I'm not doing that over there, is something that we need to work on. In other words, we need to work with our righteousness, allow the Holy Spirit into helping us understand where we've got it pretty well down pat and where we need to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit working with us some more and polishing us and nudging us. In John chapter 3, verses 19, right after John 3:16, for God so loved the world, it goes on and says, this is the verdict, light has come to the world. That'd be Jesus, wouldn't it? But men love darkness instead of light because of their deeds. Their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth, comes into the light, that's a deliberate move into the light, so that it may be seen plainly what he has done has been done through God. Our living in righteousness, our living as if Jesus were right next to us every moment, is a way that we praise Almighty God through our lives. Folks, it's why we do things differently than the world does. We have a different motivation. We do it to the honor and glory of God. Now, there's a facet of this that we also need to be ready for. In John chapter 15, verses 22 through 24. If I had not come and spoken to them, Jesus says, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for the sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty. But now that they have seen these miracles and yet have hated both me and my Father. So folks, as we live that life out among people, as miracles begin to happen and people are exposed to what Jesus is doing in the world around us, There's still going to be people, folks. There's still going to be people who choose against Jesus. And that's their choice. What we've been given is the challenge to share with them Jesus Christ. And this has been a hard verse for me. Because there's a piece of me that says, well, boy, if I hadn't just shared Jesus with them, then maybe they wouldn't be damned to hell. I should have just kept my mouth shut. That's not our point. That's not our charge. It's the Holy Spirit's discernment. It's that convicting of sin that is the Holy Spirit's task to do. And if the Holy Spirit has gone there and is there and they choose not, that's not on us. But we've done our part. We just need to understand that's part of our righteousness. We don't want to go there sometimes because it's scary to go there because we might be rejected. And in reality, it's not us being rejected, folks. It's Jesus. But there's a part in there that we need to be ready for. And we as Mennonites have championed this verse for ages and ages and ages. And I think it's a powerful verse. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And Jared, it's not on there. Don't be searching for it. But therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual activity of worship. No longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And folks, that comes by allowing the Holy Spirit the privilege of guiding us in our righteousness, of concerning us in our righteousness. And it makes that bridge to this next task of the Holy Spirit, which is concerning judgment. Concerning judgment. Now it says, this is what happens when you finish your sermon late on Saturday night. Concerning judgment. I know it's here. I wrote it. Oh, right here. Because I am going to the Father where no one can speak. And verse 11. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Concerning judgment, there's a lot of things going on in our world right now talking about judgment. Whether it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, or and I don't know how many times I heard on the streets this week when we were talking to people and meeting people, well, don't judge me. That's judging. You judging me? In chapter 7 of John, it says in verse 23 and 24, now if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, sorry, take it easy, guys, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Now, when we're talking about judgment and the Holy Spirit working in concerning judgment, we have to be in mind that, yes, we've got to do some discernment, but the judgment we need to be working on. In other words, I think we as Christians living in this day and time, we want to make sure that the preacher wears a fresh tie, a fresh shirt, and is in a suit on Sunday morning. That's sort of kosher, right? But we've seen it done in a polo shirt and jeans. come across pretty good. And we want to make sure that people, come with a lot of tattoos. What's that all about? And that sort of makes us uneasy. But we realize that the Spirit of God is changing lives. And many times as those lives are changed, there's going to be pieces of the life before that are left behind that can actually be used in testimony of the wonderful change that God has done. What I'm saying in one way or another is, it is not ours to discern or judge the heart. But it is ours to understand that we need to continue to bring the gospel out. I think what's happening is we're so scared of a society that says, don't judge me, that we're not speaking truth. And judgment has to do with truth. We cannot, in our flesh, make good judgments. Because we're always going to come to any situation from a human's perspective. But allowing the Holy Spirit to move ahead of us allows us to let that Spirit of Christ, move in judgment if it's needed. In chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, it says, you judge by human standards, but I pass judgment on no one. This is Jesus. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. The final judgment's later on, folks. We're all sort of in flux right now. If we make judgments on this side of the kingdom that keeps people from the kingdom of God because we, for one reason or another, have put up a wall, we have defeated the work of the Holy Spirit in that moment. Okay? But if we allow God's Holy Spirit to move through us and I walked up to people that I am not normally comfortable with because the Holy Spirit nudged me in that direction. And I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy about Revive is that I can do that. And I thank God for the privilege. I could do it in another place first before we start doing it here at home. Even though I do use some of those same things right here at home. And it's amazing what God is doing. We need to understand that we might be, in one way or another, influenced by the world around us. And maybe we're a little too quiet. Maybe we're actually snubbing out the Holy Spirit who wants to speak in our lives. Satan is a liar. Chapter 8 of John 42 through 47. Jesus said to them, and remember, Jesus is speaking to the established religious community of his time. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am now here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. Boy, you know, Jesus didn't mix it up. Doesn't that sound like judgment? You want to carry out your father's desire. And it goes on, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. And there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet I tell you the truth, and you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? And this is in a situation where Jesus was asking, okay, folks, can you prove me wrong? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Wow. Jesus did not mince words, but he spoke truth. And I think we as Christians in this day and time need to grab hold of what is the truth for us. What is the truth for us as Christians living today? Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. As for you, and we need to claim this, you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses of sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the kingdom, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And I think many of us as Christians forget that transformation that we're given through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ from the then to the now. The kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work for those who are disobedient. Do you know there are people who would rather, and I walked up to a couple this week, who would rather choose against the kingdom because they enjoy what they're doing? They enjoy their disobedience? So they don't want to become a believer right now. Verse 3. All of us who lived among them, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the desires of our sinful nature. Boy, you know, that I was thinking about that verse in regards to my yachties last night. Anybody have that sinful nature that sort of nudges us in a direction we don't think maybe God wants us to go? And that's what's being talked about here. And following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Folks, we need to be making the past tense, and living in light of the Holy Spirit's nurture of our soul. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15 says it this way, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code and its regulation that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Brothers and sisters who are Christians, who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are we living out the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ? The transformation that He's made of our lives, the way He's moved among us. I see a bunch of people sitting like this. Is that not exciting to anybody? Okay, maybe I already put you asleep a half hour ago. But think about it, folks. What Christ has done is allowed us to be transformed from the way we were naturally thinking to something brand new that was created in Christ before the beginning of time. And it's ours now. We no longer have to follow rules as much as we follow that transformed mind that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. That Romans 12, 1 and 2 piece, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're transformed by this movement of the Holy Spirit that has come in judgment. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 then, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were in slavery by their fear of death. One of the ways that we know, that Jesus has gotten a hold of us, that we've allowed the Holy Spirit to move in us, is death does not scare us anymore. We might be a little squeamish about the pain. We don't like pain. But death no longer scares us. Satan has been defeated. The powers that would like to destroy distract us from Jesus Christ has already been defeated. It is our role then to allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind each and every day so that we draw closer through God's Holy Spirit, Christ's Holy Spirit, in the here and now. In the here and now. You know what's going to happen to the devil? Let's read about it. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. It almost sounds like what's going on today. Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number they will be like the sand of the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets had been thrown. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Folks, these scriptures are all in your Bible. I didn't bring anything new this morning. This is all old hat. But I pray that you will begin to read the words of Scripture in a new way as the Holy Spirit guides you in these words. But most of all this morning, I would hope that you would invite the Holy Spirit new and fresh into your life. To allow him to have that conversation with the Holy Spirit. How much do I believe in Jesus? And I hope it's greater and greater proportion each day. How righteous before Almighty God am I walking in my work? At home with my family? In relationship with my spouse? Lord, through your Holy Spirit, nudge me in those places where I need to draw closer to what you're calling me to be as a righteous man or woman. And judgment. What am I getting in the way? What am I not allowing to happen? What am I not considering as truth in the here and now when I listen more to what's on TV or radio than what's in God's holy word? Because we're being battered each and every day with messages that are not truth. And I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit some more freedom in your life. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, this was a really short course in these threefold tasks of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would come and dwell among us, work in our individual lives in such a way that we begin to understand that you died for a purpose to release us from our sins, that this Holy Spirit thing is not just a tack on to our faith, but it's you, Lord. Lord Jesus, present, loving me, and wanting to transform me to be more like you. Heavenly Father, we give you permission to move among us. To convict us regarding sin, Lord. To convict us in regards to righteousness. To convict us in regards to judgment. And we pray, Heavenly Father, in the midst of your moving among us and nudging us, we would begin to see the power that you have to change lives and to do miracles. So that as we go from this place this morning, we can carry the hope that you bring us through Scripture into a world that's hungry to hear it. May we carry that peace with us, that you desire to put things back together that are broken. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior, we pray. Amen.